English Across the Pond.
Hello, hello, welcome, welcome aboard. This is English Across the Pond, the perfect place for all your English language needs. For the next half an hour, the next 30 minutes, relax and enjoy yourself listening to a real conversation from two native speaker English language teachers. If you're new to English Across the Pond, you won't know that between us, me and my co-host have over 30 years of English language teaching experience. Talking of my co-host, well, first of all, hello, my name is Dan. I hope you're having a great day. And
my name's Jennifer, and I hope you're having a fabulous day.
And I should have said, I'm from England. We always say that, don't we? I'll try it again. Wait, hold on. Hello, my name's Dan, and I'm from England.
Oh, hey there. What's up? My name's Jennifer, and I'm from the US.
We're here every Friday. If you need even more English, if you haven't got enough English in your life, if it's a serious issue for you, we do have membership. You can become a member of English Across the Pond, and you get a weekly study plan delivered directly into your inbox. And this study plan, it goes with the podcast. So everything that we're saying now, the study plan is related to that. You get, are you ready? It's a long list. You get a weekly goal. There's a transcript, everything we say, vocab, listening exercises, reading exercises, writing exercises, grammar focus. There's a chance to speak. You leave us a recorded message and we reply to you. It's truly amazing. So if you want more English, go to englishacrossthepond.com/gold. G-O-L-D. englishacrossthepond.com/gold. This week, our topic is colour.
And colour.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course. For me, that is C-O-L-O-U-R, because I'm from England land.
C-O-L-O-R, colour. Yeah. In America.
In America. Yeah, and, you know, sometimes I write like colour on the board with my students. You know, I write it down onto the whiteboard, and the student puts their hand up and goes, "I think you spelled colour wrong."
They do.
Yeah, really. Yeah, often.
And you're like, oh.
It's kind of like, I think South Korea. Hello, South Korea. Japan. Hello, Japan. They generally access, like, in my experience, like American English, and so they think, why is he spelled colour wrong?
Well, I remember when I saw the word practice spelled with an S.
Yeah.
And it was a practice English with an arrow sign. I was like, don't practice English there. They can't even spell.
Rubbish. Yeah. And so yes. I, of course, say, excuse me. I think you'll find that's just the British English way of spelling things. You know, and I get on my high horse.
Oh, geez.
We're talking about colour. And you can guess what I'm going to ask you.
What was the first color I remember seeing?
What color is your toothbrush? What color is your toothbrush?
I wish I would say it was bamboo, because oh. I'm trying to go zero waste.
Plastic.
But I cannot.
Plastic.
But I cannot lie. I have my Santa Claus puts toothbrushes in our stockings every year. Oh. And Santa Claus always puts like a 3-pack. So oh. I've got several toothbrushes in stock
oh, yeah.
that I'm using up before I go bamboo. Right now, it is a white with purple detail.
Oh, it sounds quite fancy.
Oh, it's just a Colgate, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think mine's... Tell you, this. I'm already digressing from the topic of colour, but I'll tell you about toothbrushes in my house, right? My toothbrush, it was green, and it had a really small head on it. And I said to my wife, I'm not a mouse. Yeah. Right? So she said, oh, yeah, my bad. She went out and bought a blue one. It's just a different color. It's the same toothbrush.
Oh, it's the same one?
Yeah.
I thought she was going to come back with one that's like a massive one. You'd be like, well, I'm not an elephant.
No. I mean, it's kind of, because I was like, yes, she remembered. That's brilliant. I've got a new toothbrush. Ripped off the package and hold on. And then I actually held them up to each other, and I was like, this is exactly the same toothbrush. I haven't yet discussed this with said other half. So, back to colour. What's your favourite colour?
Colour? Colour. My toothbrush is no representation of my favourite colour. My favourite colour is mustard yellow.
Still?
Well, what?
I thought you might have, you know, moved on.
Matured? I know. Wow. I mean, do favourite colours change? No. Is that like a thing? Do I have to switch it out every few years?
No, but what I was thinking was, just bear with me, that like, I kind of thought it was mustard yellow, but then I thought that like, I don't know if you wear as much mustard yellow as you used to.
Oh, well, you know, it's so funny because we've actually never seen each other in person.
Mm.
You know, that you would like imagine that, but you're absolutely correct.
Mm. There you go.
I don't wear as much mustard yellow in my wardrobe.
Mm.
I keep pretty simple. I'm pretty minimalistic. I do. My eye still does go to mustard yellow, though. And I'm like, Jennifer, come on. You've moved on from this. You keep browsing. Keep browsing.
It's
you know?
A gorgeous color.
It's gorgeous. Mm. It's so happy and bright. It reminds me of the sun.
Yeah.
It's warming. You know, it's a happy color. So I love that. I also love like a teal, greenish, like ocean blue color.
Oh, yeah.
Like my son's eyes.
Oh,
you know.
Your son has the bluest eyes.
He has the most gorgeous blue eyes, I know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite color?
Mustard yellow. My favorite color is, you may have to Google this. it's not the actual, like mustard yellow. My favorite, I like blue. I like lots
still?
Of... I like... Quack, quack. Yeah. I feel how you must have felt, which is kind of
I know.
So I feel a bit nervous about still liking blue. But I like a new blue, and Ooh. It is M-A-L-L-A-R-D, Mallard Blue.
Mallard Blue.
Yeah, try that.
Oh, Mallard Blue. Just the duck came up. Mallard blue. That is a nice
good,
blue.
Isn't it? And any blue around that kind of darkish. I think it's got a bit of white in or something. So I don't like the blue of sort of, you know, what is it like primary color blue? That's just too
yeah,
blue.
Yeah, it's a little
I mean,
too bright.
Turn the blue down just a touch.
It's a little too preschool, you know?
And I think that Mallard Blue is named after a train called the Mallard. So it's got like a geeky boy fact linked to it.
Oh, so it's not connected to like the duck.
No, it's connected to the train called the Mallard. You don't just learn history. You don't just learn English on this podcast.
You learn a little bit of history, a little bit of culture, yeah. A little bit of fun facts.
So
you have a lot of bit of fun.
I think I know the answer to this, but is color is important to you, isn't it?
Yes.
Can you sort of like explain that a little bit, or can you? I mean, can you explain that?
Mm. Well, there's things as color therapy, like using color therapy in your house. You know, like painting your house a certain color to like lift energy and vibe, and different colors that you wear or have in your house or have surrounded can affect your mood.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I love yellow so much, because it's so bright. But when I did an Ayurveda test and found out my dosha, I am a pitta. So I'm very fiery.
There were three words there that I don't know. Ayurveda, it sounded a little bit like a menu.
Yeah. We'll have an Ayurveda episode.
Okay,
but
good.
You can look up just listeners, because we are digressing again. You can look up your dosha, D-O-S-H-A. You can find your dosha, and then you can kind of see what I'm talking about. There's three different kind of types, and everyone has a little bit of it in all of the doshas in them, but they're more kind of primary one. Anyways, I am like fiery, and one of the things I read was, stay away from these like fire, hot, warm colors, because it's just going to increase the fire.
Oh, yeah.
So I should be attracted to the blues and the lighter colors that are more calming to kind of balance out my fire.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. I just love the fire. Show me the fire.
So does this kind of when you're, say, shopping or, you know, not just for clothes, but like, are you considering sort of like decorating your room maybe? Would that sort of thing play a part?
Maybe when I have a house and I actually do decor. We have moved so many times and we're going to be moving again.
Wow.
And hopefully this next move will be a little bit more permanent. Mm. So we've kind of like, haven't really gone full out in terms of decorating. But when we moved into this house almost a couple of years ago, there was all wood flooring, and it's a bigger house than we've ever had. Mm. So the echoing was a problem, which some people might find on my episode recording, right? The echo is strange because the floor. So we had to get carpets and pillows, and we have a lot of blankets on the couch. And the carpet I got was gray and yellow.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it's, I love it. So,
gray's good, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have a lot of things that I collected from my wedding decor, like this old crate that's like distressed. It's yellow. This really cool antique kind of boxy kind of thing. That's this really deep mustard yellow. So I kind of have some of those still lingering about, but yeah. My office, though, I really like having it kind of clean, black and white, wood, and then yellow kind of accents. Black, white, wood, and yellow.
Nice.
I thought about that.
Yeah, nice combo. You mentioned like color therapy, and I'm not, and you know, and that kind of proves that color really affects human. You know, it has a really strong effect on us. Why do you think color affects us so much? Is that any ideas?
I think it's probably the way the brain is going to kind of get it. But, you know, connecting back to the yoga episode, I don't know if we talked about, but we did kind of talk about our chakras. Mm. And the chakras have a color that's like assigned with them too. Mm. And if we're trying to unblock or kind of work with our different chakras, part of the way to do that is like to imagine the color and to think about the color. Mm. And so, yeah. And so I'm trying to think of like how it starts, you know? Yeah. So you just like think about, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
It definitely changes. Like it does something within your brain. Listeners, if you know exactly how color affects our brains, let us know. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it just has to do with like how it processes it, and then maybe it lights up a certain region, and then it activates a calming sensation or a bat, you know.
And there are, I think it must be, do you think, but then having said that, I don't want to get like, you know, too sort of like psychological or deep or scientific, but do you think that colors are the same for like people people right now are listening to us from literally all around the world. Do you think it's possible that if we line some people up from different countries that they might react to colors differently?
Maybe, yeah.
I think they do. Because I would say, I think that like in some countries, you know, like death is associated with maybe white, but in another country it's black. So therefore it might trigger different emotions inside of you. Do you think?
Oh, totally. Great point.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, isn't it?
Great point.
But that's cultural, isn't it? That's cultural.
Totally cultural. And I think like different cultures also like Western versus Eastern medicine, right? I think like Eastern medicines that are not like Westernized use a lot more of what we would call like alternative therapy, right?
Yeah.
But for them, it's not alternative, it's regular. So I feel like color therapy might be more accepted in different countries and cultures too.
Agreed.
Yeah.
As in also, what's it called? Reflexology as well. I mean, that's another example of sort of maybe in the West now, in the UK and maybe the US, that's becoming more accepted. But 50 years ago or, you know, I think in the West, it was sort of, it wasn't scientific enough. But now,
yeah, they'd be like, reflex what?
Yeah, what are you doing that for? That's not, you know, so yeah, I agree. Do you think generally, I mean, we have this stereotype of like little baby boys in blue and little baby girls in pink. Yeah, sure. But do you think that there are, if we, you know, take the kid up to being 10 years old or 15 years old or even me and you, do you think there are boy colors and girl colors or not at all?
Real men wear pink, Dan.
Yeah. I used to have a really nice pink shirt. I haven't got one now. I used to have a nice pink t-shirt as well with like a hot rod racing car on it. It's one of my favorite t-shirts.
Yeah. So I think in terms of teenage, kind of adolescent type clothing, I think it wouldn't be super easy to find pinks and purples on a lot of the shirts.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Generally
speaking, and this is just like a guess, I've never actually like looked, but I think it's easier to find a wide range of colors for women's clothing.
Yeah,
like true. I think women can wear blue dresses and green striped tops and, you know, kind of boy quote colors easier.
Yeah.
Than men. And not saying like it's easier for women too. I think it's easier to find. Like it's more common to find a blue dress than a hot pink shirt for a man. You know? Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I do agree, but whether it's the chicken or the egg, you know, whether because those colors are there, that's the colors that we buy. I guess not. I guess it's just that men generally are just sort of like, I don't really care what color it is. Just give me some clothes. Not all men. Whereas not all women can be a bit more like, have you got this in a lighter light blue?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I think maybe there's a broader spectrum of colours for the female shopper. Do you think?
Yes. I would think.
I have to choose my words so carefully.
I know. But there are even in the, there's just more selection of women, girls, clothes, period, I think.
Yeah,
a standard type of department store where there's a boys, a girls, a men, a women, and a junior section. So when I try to shop for clothes for my son, I'm always like, why is there only one rack of boy clothes and there's like four racks of girl clothes? And common problem all the time. I shop in the girls section for him sometimes.
Well, and for Amy, not so much now, but when she was like... my daughter is 11, and now that she's 11, it's a bit more like jeans and is it, do you call it like a sweat top? You know, like she just sort of like throws stuff on. But when she was a bit younger and I was more choosing things, or me and my wife were more choosing clothes for her, so many of the nice tops were in the boys, and I'm doing like rabbit ears, you know, inverted commas. So many of the nice tops were in a really nice brown or a nice green or blue, these boy colours. And they were really nice. But because my lovely daughter was aware of the fact that that's the boys section, there was no way she was going to wear it. But I swear down, if those things had been pushed down into the girls section, honestly, they would have looked really good on her.
Yeah, kids are tough when it comes to like the perception of it.
Yo, totally.
This is not really related to color, but we were talking to our neighbor the other day and they have a 14-year-old.
Oh yeah.
And they can buy, let's say, a pair of Levi's, the brand Levi's.
Mm.
I don't remember what brand it was, but it'll be the same pair of pants, the same pair of Levi's, but he has to get it from like the cool surf shop.
Oh.
If the tag comes and it's from like a Ross or a TJ Maxx or one of those like designer discount stores, if he sees that tag, he will not wear it.
How fussy.
Yeah. So kids, they say the darndest things.
What a fuss pot. Indeed they do. My car's black. What color is your car?
Ooh, we have two black cars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my husband really wanted black. My first car was silver.
Mine was too.
Same.
Yeah.
My second car was white.
Oh, yeah.
And I really liked my white car, but my husband wanted black. And so when we got our second car, because San Diego is so big, it's very impossible with poor public transportation to have, you know, not a car.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm not getting a black car. They show all of the scratches. They show all of the dirt. So much easier. We're going to get something else. And I looked at the white car and I was like, no, it just doesn't look as like slick. And then I almost wanted to get a dark gray, like granite, but I had a second of like, oh, am I going to regret this decision? Okay, I'm just going to go black.
But I think, isn't it that like, obviously, I know this is, you know, this isn't rocket science, but white cars show up black dirt and black cars show up white dirt. Is that, that's it, isn't it? Or not?
Makes sense.
But you know that, like, in the end of the, at the end of the day, they just even each other out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe if we had a car color dirt expert with us, they'd be going, No, wrong again, guys. But I mean, to me, because when I was a kid, I really wanted a black carpet. Partly because I had like gothic tendencies, but also because I thought, well, it won't show up any dirt because it's black, and everything that's on my white carpet is black, so it'll be clean. Yeah, I learned.
Didn't happen. You learned the hard way.
I got a black carpet, which was pretty, like, you know, a lot of respect from my teenage friends were like, wow, you've got a black carpet. That's pretty far out. But it was filthy all the time.
I want to do a damn goth episode sometime. I need to learn more about these goth tendencies.
Tendencies. Now, last question is, ink color, please. Blue or black? I mean, for a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, like me, are addicted to stationery, pens, rubbers, rulers, etc. Jennifer?
Rubbers, Dan, means something very different in American English.
Eraser.
Erasers.
Yeah, forgive me. What color ink is in your pen? And that's not a euphemism. That's literally what color ink is in your pen.
I have blue and black at my desk.
Oh, for different purposes?
Nope. No. It's whatever I grab first.
Mm.
So I just bought both to have both. And then I have like a stack of them in my drawer, in my drawer on my desk.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of whatever comes out first. I think that I would prefer black, though. If I had to choose one, I'd prefer black.
Seems like I'm not the only one with gothic tendencies.
And I actually had punk rock tendencies when I was young.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The spike belt, the metal ball necklace, Dickie pants. Yeah.
I've no idea what Dickie pants are.
Oh, you gotta Google punk rock Dickie pants.
I'm afraid to. I've got young children in the house. How do I spell them? D-I what?
D-I-X-I-E, I think. Dickies punk rock D-I-X-I-E-S pants.
Well, we certainly need to do an episode on like tribes, or you know what it is, like teen groups.
Styles.
And we need to do a stationery episode as well.
Studded belt. Dickies pants studded belt. My Google's not showing my style, so I'll have to clarify in a later episode.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Well, lovely chatting. I feel like we've only just begun talking about color, but it's time to go already.
Time to go.
Yeah. Thanks. I'm gonna go, and I'm writing. I always write in pencil.
Oh.
But a push pencil. Do you know what I mean? Like you push the top of it.
Yeah. Oh, the mechanical pencil.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what I
was. All right.
Good
chatting. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening, everyone. And please get in touch with us and tell us about your favorite color.
We'd love to hear it.
Love to hear from you. And have a great week, everybody.
You too.
Cheers.
Bye.
In a moment or two, this week's language focus, which is all about idioms. But first, a quick word about membership. Jennifer and I, we here at English Across the Pond run membership. You can sign up at any time. Go to englishacrossthepond.com/gold and sign up today. You'll receive a study plan every week directly in your inbox full of all the exercises you need to take your English to the next level. Reading, writing, listening, speaking, grammar, vocabulary, the transcript, and very importantly, all the answers. So sign up today, become a member, englishacrossthepond.com/gold. Onwards and upwards, it's time for the language focus. Usually a grammar focus, but colours and grammar? I think it might be better this week if we stick more on the vocabulary side, and we're going to look at some idioms with colours in them. Two blue, two red, two green. Before we start, if you're thinking, What's an idiom? Good question. An idiom is a group of words, a phrase or a sentence, where you can't guess the meaning from the words themselves. And an example is a piece of cake. Now, of course, a piece of cake can be a piece of cake. But it can also mean you feel that something is very easy to do. So you say to the teacher, or you say to your friend, "Oh, English is a piece of cake." It doesn't mean that English has been in the oven and it's got sort of, you know, flour and butter and chocolate and things in it. It means that you think it's very easy. So you can't guess the meaning from the words. You have to just know the meaning. The problem, there's two problems really. One problem is, as I said, you can't guess the meaning from the context. Actually, I think there are three problems. I've thought of another one. Number one, you can't guess the meaning from the words themselves. So if somebody came to you and just said, "It's a piece of cake," you would think, "What? Where? Where is the, what is it? Why? Why are you talking about cake?" There was no way that you could know that this person was meaning that something was very easy. The other problem is you can't change them. You can't say it's like two pieces of cake. If something's very, very easy, you can't say it's two pieces of cake. Of course, you could say it was a piece of cake, or it will be. Don't worry. It will be a piece of cake. You could change the tense, but you can't sort of change it into it was a really big piece of cake. It's just rigid. It's stuck as a piece of cake. That's the second problem. The third problem is native speakers love them. Sorry about that. The reason we love them is, of course, you could say, "How was the exam?" And you could say, "Oh, it was very easy." Or you could say, "Oh, it was a piece of cake." It's more interesting, it's more exciting, it's more beautiful. It makes you seem more interesting and exciting and beautiful. So native speakers tend to use them quite a lot. Here are six idioms, two red, two blue, two green, starting with the first one with red, and to paint the town red. To paint the town red. And this means to go out and have a good time. Maybe go to some bars or go to a restaurant or to, I think usually it's more than one place. You go to a couple of places at least to paint the town red. So, hey, we finished all our exams. Let's paint the town red. The second one with red, to be caught. That's from the verb to catch. To be caught red-handed. To be caught red-handed. And that means to be caught. Somebody sees you or finds you doing the thing that you're not supposed to do, that you shouldn't do. Let's say your friend has stopped smoking and then you see them. Ha! You see them. Found you. I've caught you red-handed. Or somebody, they're not supposed to be eating the biscuits, the cookies, and you see them with their hand in the cookie jar, in the biscuit tin, and you say, "Ha! Caught you red-handed." And it means to catch somebody in the middle of doing something that they're not supposed to do. Two with green. Number one, to be green with envy. Envy is envious, and envious is jealous. Envy and jealousy are synonyms. And when you're jealous, you can say green with envy. She has a new iPhone, and I am green with envy. I am jealous. To give somebody the green light, of course, this comes from traffic lights, red, amber, and green. And if you give someone the green light, it means you give them permission to do what they want to do. Or if you get the green light, then you have permission to do what you want to do. I've been waiting to start my business, and now the government, the council, have given me the green light, and I can open my shop. You have permission to do what you want to do. Two with blue. If something happens out of the blue or comes out of the blue, then it's a big surprise. For example, I hadn't spoken to my sister for 6 months and she called me out of the blue this morning. She called me without warning me, without telling me. So it was a surprise or a shock, out of the blue. And last but not least, once in a blue moon. Once in a blue moon means very rarely, hardly ever, kind of like one in a million. And my football team are not very good, and they win once in a blue moon. Or, I haven't got much money, so I go out to eat to a restaurant once in a blue moon. Hardly ever, very rarely. Okay, that's 6 idioms. There will be 6 more in this week's study plan written out. Well, this 6 will be written out with the definitions. There'll be 6 new ones and there'll be a chance to practice as well. So, sign up, get your study plan today.